time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsborough from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Now, what are we discussing this week?
Well, you know, I recently had an opportunity to jump back 100 years, a time when steam was the predominant source of power on Manitoba farms. So this week, I'm going to discuss my time travel experiences on a century farm near Langruth.
Okay, that sounds like a lot. But before we get into all of that, what is a century farm?
It's a farm that has been operated by one family over several generations for 100 years or more. In the case of the farm we're discussing today, the land was first acquired in 1904 by a gentleman named Johan Johansson. It was passed down, the land, to his son, then to his grandson, and now his great-grandson, Murray Johansson. Every fall, Murray uses his collection of antique farm equipment to plow his field to prepare it for next year's crop. Every 3 to 4 years, including this year, he also uses his machinery to demonstrate how grain was harvested in the old days. In a nutshell, we can describe what Murray Johansson does as heritage harvesting. And he's not alone.
Oh, so there's other heritage harvesters?
There are. Now, there may not be as many people as dedicated as Murray Johansson, but there are others who relive old farming methods. The Manitoba Agricultural Museum, which has a huge collection of vintage farm machinery, much of it in working order, does a heritage harvest as a fundraiser for the museum and also for the Canadian Food Grains Bank. They grow a crop of wheat on a field belonging to the museum, and they use old trucks, tractors, wagons, swathers, and combines to harvest it. This year, the heritage harvest happened 3 weeks ago. Now, they do sometimes use modern machinery to help with the more difficult areas of the field, where the crop, for example, is a little greener. And I think this is an interesting way to show how much harvesting productivity has improved in the past several decades. The modern machinery is usually faster and more efficient than the old stuff. But, you know, I think Murray Johansson is unique in that most, if not all, of the equipment he uses for his heritage harvest is 100 years or more old. You know, and his collection embraces two markedly different technologies.
Two different technologies.
Well, at one time, power on the farm was provided mostly by horses or oxen. You know, they pulled the machinery needed to sow the crop in the spring, then harvest it in the fall. But animals have the downside that they can't work constantly. You know, they must be rested periodically. In the early 20th century, the replacement of animals by tractors revolutionized farm work. Now, initially, machines were powered by steam. And in one of the tractors on the Johansson farm, for example, is a Case Model 110, an absolutely massive beast that weighs over 20 tons with wheels 7 feet high. Its steam power can be used either to propel the tractor at speeds of around 2.5 miles per hour or to turn its flywheel that is used to power other machines connected to the tractor. But steam-powered tractors have one big disadvantage.
Oh, I'm intrigued. What's that?
Well, before a steam tractor can operate, the farmer has to stock it with fuel, wood or coal, and water, then wait for the burning fuel to heat the water until it starts to make steam. You know, it might take an hour to an hour and a half before the tractor is ready for farm work. You know, you just can't jump on and just drive away. On the other hand, tractors that burn gasoline, kerosene, and other fuels, which began to replace steam-powered tractors on Manitoba farms in the 1910s, well, they can be started and put to work almost immediately.
And what kind of equipment did they use for the harvesting?
Well, on the Johansson farm, they used two tractors to power two threshing machines. Those threshing machines took tied bundles of wheat stalks, called sheaves, and extracted the grain from them. One thresher was powered by a steam tractor and the other by a gas tractor. Now, for historical purists, I think the steam operation was the most significant. The tractor, the aforementioned Case 110, is one of only three such tractors in private ownership in all of Canada. There are a few more of them in museum collections, but say just three in private hands. And what I found fascinating is that the owners of those three tractors were all at the Johansson Heritage Harvest a few weeks ago. The thresher powered by that Case 110 was something called an Illinois Thresher Model 4064. It was built in 1914, and Murray told me that it's the only one of its kind in the entire world.
Wow. I'm wondering, where did Mr. Johansson get his antique farm equipment?
Well, given that his is a century farm, you know, I wondered if he had maybe inherited it from his ancestors. And when I asked, he said he did acquire some of the smaller equipment from his dad, but the larger pieces he acquired independently, or in some cases, he actually built them from parts. And then he restored them. Of course, a machinery that's 100 years old can sometimes be all rusty and some of the parts are damaged or gone. Well, he restored them so completely that, frankly, they look like they're nearly new. Now, Murray started collecting antique farm equipment when he was just 14 years old. He's now 70. So obviously, this has been essentially a lifelong passion.
Amazing. I'm wondering, what was the Heritage Harvest like?
Well, I arrived at the Johansson farm around noon, and all the antique equipment was out on display in the yard. There was a row of cars and trucks, some of them belonging to Murray and others to collectors among the 300 or so people who, like me, came to watch the harvest. There was a long row of tractors near the cars and trucks. Work had already got underway to get the steam tractors warming up, because again, it takes a while for that to happen. And so by 1:30 in the afternoon, the threshing began.
And how did all of this work?
Well, they hooked up the tractors to the threshers by way of long canvas belts. As the tractor flywheels began turning, the belts started to move. And they in turn moved levers and other parts inside the threshing machine, and they began to slide back and forth. And that began separating the wheat from the stalks. And the remaining stalks, which they don't use, they blow those out into a large pile that accumulates beside the threshers. To keep the threshers supplied with the wheat sheaves, tractors pulling wagons went out into the field nearby and they picked up more sheaves, bringing them back to the threshers where men wielding pitchforks loaded the sheaves onto conveyor belts that carried the sheaves into the threshers. Once the grain had been threshed, it poured out of an auger into a waiting wagon.
And how long did the threshing go on for?
They threshed for about 90 minutes or so until the sheaf supply was exhausted. And then several of the tractors hooked onto plows and they began working the field, began turning over the soil to prepare it for next year. Now, unlike modern tillage equipment, you know, that use hydraulics to lift the equipment up and down, for example, when they get to the end of a field, these old plows had several men standing on a wooden platform atop the plow. And their job was to raise and lower the plows manually as needed. You know, it was truly an incredible sight to see a row of old tractors spreading out across the field. And well, in fact, the traffic on the highway next to the field all pulled over. There's a whole long lineup of cars just watching this incredible sight. You know, that aside from Murray's annual harvests, hasn't happened here in decades.
So why do people do these heritage harvests?
You know, I suppose it's the same motive as people who dress in period costumes and reenact historical battles. It gives them a more visceral experience of past lives and experiences than simply reading about them or looking at photos. You know, Murray has been doing these heritage harvests since 1993, and he told me that as long as his health holds, he intends to keep doing them every fall. You know, so if nothing else, using vintage farm equipment to harvest crops should give modern day farmers a better appreciation of just how much easier they have it today compared to the farmers 100 years ago. And I think they have Murray Johansson to thank for that experience.
Absolutely. Amazing story, Gordon. Can you give us a hint about what's happening in next week's episode?
We have visited several towns in this Abandoned Manitoba series that we could describe as ghosts. Next week, we're going to discuss a lake that is a phantom.
Ooh, can't wait. Thanks for that,
spooky.
Gordon. It is very spooky. Looking
Talk
forward to
week.
It.
See you next week.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. any moon.